In today's episode of Locked On Oilers, Hollywood hits Alberta's capital as Dylan Holloway has an absolute star performance as he continues to make his case for the Edmonton Oilers roster. Plus, we will take a look at the preseason stock market and Dmitry Samarukov. How did he play last night and just how well is he stacking up against the other competition for that final defenseman spot on the Edmonton Oilers? All that and much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On Oilers Podcast. I am your host and former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. As mentioned on today's episode, we are going to talk about the absolute beauty masterclass of a game from Dylan Holloway and the Edmonton Oilers last night as he continues to make his case for the Edmonton Oilers roster this year. And I think he basically solidified it after that game. We will talk about that in just a second. Also on today's episode, we are going to take a look at our preseason stock market as we always do after an Edmonton Oilers preseason game, as there are some interesting names on there and one new one as well to get a quick little honorable mention later on today's episode. Plus, we will end off on the defenseman battle, the final sixth defenseman spot for the Edmonton Oilers. And it seems like Dmitry Samarukov may have kept his name in the conversation, but how long does he have and who is in the lead for that final defenseman spot? We will have that and so much more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcasts. Alrighty, let's start off in Hollywood as the star of the show, Dylan Holloway, absolutely stole the show at Rogers Place last night. Yes, the game was at Rogers Place. I did say it was in Vancouver for whatever reason yesterday. So I want to thank Oilers 1979 for very graciously correcting me on that. Thank you so much for humbling me in that way. I appreciate that. You can only learn by being wrong. Thank you so much for that. But yes, the Edmonton Oilers did have a game in Edmonton last night against Vancouver. Massive 7-2 victory, which we will get into later on in our preseason stock market, as well as some of the stars. The supporting cast in this Hollywood story has been fantastic last night, but you got to start off with the star. 3 goals, 1 assist, 5 shots, 3 hits. He had a takeaway as well, was 100% in the faceoff dot and was on the ice for 17 minutes and 25 seconds. That is Dylan Holloway. What more can you say from the performance of Dylan Holloway? Starting off yesterday's game alongside Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman, a lot of hype going into the game last night, wondering what Dylan Holloway was going to do, what he would be able to do next to Leon Draisaitl. Would he be a little quote-unquote starstruck? Man, we are really hitting it with these movie quotes. How well would he adapt to playing on that line? How is he next to Leon Draisaitl? Well, it seems like we have all of our answers. And it seems like the Edmonton Oilers might have a brand new top six forward. One that they bred themselves. One that realistically they don't have to try and force into that position like a Jesse Puljujärvi, a Ryan McLeod, a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who can do so, but you are a better team if you have that spine in check. Dylan Holloway has just resolved a lot of issues for the Edmonton Oilers from, really, I was going to say the top six, but it's really the top nine for the Edmonton Oilers. He just basically beat out Jesse Puljujärvi for a top six spot from that game alone, despite the fact that he has played fantastic hockey through every game that he's played through this preseason, not only in the NHL, but in that Young Stars Classic as well. He played fantastic. Best player on the ice. And then he comes back to play against NHL players. And yes, I'll give the Vancouver Canucks maybe had 5, 6, maybe 7, depending on the real battles in camp, NHLers. But every other team he's played against, he's had NHLers that are normal NHLers, regular NHLers. He has played alongside Leon Draisaitl just last night, and he didn't look out of place. In fact, he ran the show. So much so, even his third goal was entirely him. The first goal was entirely him. Dylan Holloway is showing something that a lot of people expected to see. Maybe not even. He is shattering expectations. Everybody expected this guy to be a middle six forward to go out there, grind out, and be a fantastic skater and really play really good hockey, hard-nosed hockey. But he's going out there and taking over games in games that both Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid were in. Yes, it's preseason. I understand. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl aren't going to go absolutely balls to the wall and try and do everything that Dylan Holloway did last night. But you still notice when Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are on the ice at all times. But last night, you noticed when Dylan Holloway was on the ice at all times. Sometimes you went, oh yeah, McDavid's out. There you go. Oh, there's Leon next to, oh, Dylan Holloway. He stole the show. The way he skated, the way he was the first to pucks in every situation. He played in his own end very well. He is the exact epitome of the player that you need to be in preseason. Now, yes, let's talk about that. It is the preseason, and a lot of people are giving him the Ty Ratty Award. I understand. But this is a step above. Ty Ratty was getting the Ty Ratty Award because he was playing next to Connor McDavid and really was playing the way that everybody thought he would the moment he got drafted. Then the regular season came. Now he has the expectations that he had in preseason that he's never had in his entire career. And he's out by, what, the second month of the season? I don't even remember how long Ty Ratty was an Edmonton Oiler. Now you see Dylan Holloway, who has the proper mentality, who has just absolutely taken every possible stride to get better, has gone up in the AHL, has played under Woodcroft and Manson, and it may have been abbreviated, but every step of the way, it looked like he was going to be all right. And Dylan Holloway is going to be beyond all right. Dylan Holloway is going to be fantastic. This is just the beginning of what Dylan Holloway can do. And I'm excited. Genuinely, I hope they keep Dylan Holloway on that second line, not only for the sanity of a lot of Oilers fans, but I also have Dylan Holloway in fantasy, so that would be pretty cool. No, I'm just kidding. Let's move or switch gears into the other players who played fantastic last night and take a look at the preseason stock market to take a look and just a little bit of a gander at the picture, the bigger picture of the Edmonton Oilers position battles. We will talk about that in just a second, but first, I want to tell you about our partners over at Built. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, then you are depriving yourselves of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough. Covered in chocolate. Yeah, that's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to the new favorite cookie dough chunk puffs, which have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, 100% real chocolate. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. That is insane. What's great about Built is that all of their Built bars are made with collagen protein, which your body actually absorbs more efficiently. And it also provides tons of health benefits for your body as well. Eat something that tastes good and is actually good for you at the same time. Head to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON15, that is LOCKEDON15, to get 15% off your next order at Built.com. That is LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order at Built.com. Reach over to the preseason stock market. I thought I had it on the board closest to me. It was the farthest one away, so I apologize for that. But let's head to the preseason stock market, as not a lot, if at any, stocks fell yesterday for the Edmonton Oilers. We had numerous stocks go up last night. In fact, we had a stock go up over the weekend that I forgot to mention. And just last night, he kept that figure popping. So we will talk about that player in a second. But the first stock I want to talk about, who I think rose or had a little bit of a rise, even though he only played just over 3 minutes last night, he came out due to a precautionary issue, an injury, it seems like, but it was precautionary, as Jay Woodcroft said. Tyler Benson just looked fantastic for the Edmonton Oilers last night. He was all over the place. He was the embodiment of a fourth line, a bottom six forward last night, skating around all over the place, really noticeable, really forcing the puck below the faceoff dots in the offensive end, was smashing bodies all over the place again. And Jay Woodcroft mentioned about Tyler Benson, he said something very interesting to me. And as a coach, you kind of sit there, or when it's the coach that's saying this, you sit there and you go, yeah, I'd hope you recognize this player. But Jay Woodcroft said about Tyler Benson, not about the Vancouver game, but the last game that he played, I believe, against Winnipeg. He said that, I knew Tyler Benson was in that building. Which you hear a coach saying, you're like, yeah, I'd hope so. You made the lineup. You're kind of the coach of the team. I would hope you know where the players are. But what he's saying here is that you realize every single time Tyler Benson is on the ice. Sometimes as a spectator, you sit there and go, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was playing. Oh, I didn't know he was playing. Oh, look, there's oh, I haven't seen him in a little bit. I forgot he was playing. You didn't have that with Tyler Benson. You don't have that with Tyler Benson. And Tyler Benson, just like Jay Woodcroft has said, he has done everything possible to make sure that you notice him. This has been a different camp for Tyler Benson. Sometimes Tyler Benson comes in, does a couple of nice things throughout the camp, and then you sit there and go, ah, oh man, he didn't make the team again. Dang. All right, who's our fourth line center? Or whatever, right? But now you're sitting here and going, okay, there's a little bit of a battle for the basically any of the fourth line, any position on that fourth line. And it seems like it would be a shame if Tyler Benson wasn't at least there on the final day. Because he, for the last couple of games, has really, really allowed his stock to rise. Obviously scored that goal against, I believe it was Winnipeg as well. That turned out to be the game winner again. Oh no, that game went to a shootout. But yes, again, a big goal for him there, which was set up by a nice forecheck by Jake Virtanen. And he just let one loose, and a beautiful goal as well. Tyler Benson, really, really good for him, because how often have we gone, oh man, Tyler Benson again? But no, good for Tyler Benson. Two hits last night, two shots on goal before getting pulled, I guess, for precautionary reasons. But had nothing to do with his gameplay, just a fantastic game for him. And that guy whose stock has risen the last 2 to 3 games, really. Some people have said the last stretch has been his best in an Oilers uniform. And that's Warren Fogle. 2 goals last night, 2 hits, 2 shots on goal. Deuce is wild, baby. As Warren Fogle has really stood out and really took a grasp, a tight hold on that bottom 6 spot. And surprisingly, on the other wing that he was at last year. He played left wing mostly last year, but he played right wing when he was in Carolina. Now this preseason, he has been playing predominantly on that right side, and he's done very well. Mostly with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Ryan McLeod, which I think is a very good third line. But if Jesse Puljujärvi is going to slot in on that third line with McLeod and Nugent-Hopkins, then Fogle has really, really made a sweet case for that fourth line. And if he's on that fourth line and Tyler Benson's on that fourth line, the Edmonton Oilers might have an even scarier forward core than what we thought it would be beforehand. Fogle's been playing on the penalty kill as well, which has been massive for him. He needs that. He has really been focused defensively and killing penalties. You hear him talk. I listen to him talk to our first guest as well on, for me personally, Brendan Escott on 630 Ched. He mentioned specifically to Escott that they need to focus on penalty killing, that they need to focus on when they are shorthanded, that penalty killing unit. That shows where his head is at. He's in the right spot. And that's exciting. That's exciting for a lot of things. Warren Fogle, stock so far up. Good for you, buddy. And a quick little mention as well for Jake Virtanen, who did, I have to give a beautiful feed. Just a beautiful feed over. I forget who it was to. It may have been Warren Fogle, to be honest with you, on his first goal. Just a beautiful feed from him. Just a saucer pass right over the stick to Fogle. He did have, and the reason why I'm giving it a quick mention instead of seeing if his stock has risen or fallen, he had a hit in that game, one hit, which for Jake Virtanen, if he wants to make the team, he needs to be more physical. A really bad penalty call as well, a bad trip there. Did get a register, another block as well. As mentioned, the reason why I didn't really put him as a stock riser or stock faller after that game, it's because I don't think what he did in that game really affected positively his chances or his stock, really, on this team. His best game so far as an Edmonton Oiler, but that wasn't really saying much. Not a lot of fantastic plays from him, but still some pretty solid plays as well at the same time. Did want to give that a quick mention as well, especially considering those are 3 guys basically fighting for the same spot. And Warren Fogle and Tyson Barrie. See, there you go. Warren Fogle and Tyler Benson, going to have to get used to that, really outplayed Jake Virtanen there. And Tyler Benson only had 3 minutes of ice time, where Jake Virtanen had, I believe it was 10 minutes and 29 seconds. So, but again, best game as an Oiler for Jake Virtanen so far. Let's, speaking of battles, because there have been, as Jay Woodcroft said, fierce battles for the Edmonton Oilers. Let's move from the forward battles to the defensive battles, as there is quite a storm brewing for the Edmonton Oilers down in their 6th or 7th defenseman spot. And the nice thing is that it's all homegrown talent. We will talk about those 3 players fighting for that last position in just a second. But first, I want to thank you for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, make sure you tune in to Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you a daily 30-minute podcast on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world with Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Alrighty, now let's move on to that final battle for the Edmonton Oilers. This year, as it seems like it's going to come down to the wire for the Edmonton Oilers and that final defenseman spot. Starting the camp, it was Philip Broberg's to lose. Well, seems he hasn't exactly won it. As the Edmonton Oilers have a battle between three defensemen for that final spot. Dmitry Samarukov, who played last night, had a pretty decent game, depending on who you ask as well. Marcus Niemelainen, who has been fantastic, I'm not going to lie. And Philip Broberg as well. I'm going to tell you a couple of stat lines here, and I want you to guess which one's which. The first player has played in four games, has one goal, 22 hits, 11 blocks, and one takeaway. Player number two has played in three games, has two assists, three hits, four blocks, and the final player has one assist, has four penalty minutes, has one hit, and numerous blocks as well. Who do you think each one of those were? I'm guessing by the number or the hit total, you probably guessed that the first name was Marcus Niemelainen. In four games played, Marcus Niemelainen has 22 hits and 11 blocks. Dmitry Samarukov, all the power to him. He got another assist last night. He has, I believe, two, if not one now. I think he just has one. Yes, one. There we go. I have the total right here. He has one assist in the preseason so far. Has a couple of blocks here and there. Hasn't been that physical. I have genuinely given Dmitry Samarukov every possible, I don't want to say excuse, because that means that would infer that he's doing something negative. But I've tried to give Dmitry Samarukov the benefit of the doubt everywhere. Just going, oh, he hasn't had the time. Oh, he's been a victim of a crowded blue line, which he has. But now was the time for him to really prove himself and really take advantage of that final spot. It was Philip Broberg's to lose. And he, again, as mentioned, he's not winning that battle. But it's not because Dmitry Samarukov is beating him for that spot. It's because Marcus Niemelainen is beating them for that spot. Not only Samarukov, not only Philip Broberg, but both of them. It would be different if he was beating Samarukov, but not Broberg, because Broberg was the guy to have it, and he was etched into the lineup from the start. That would be different. It would be different if Niemelainen was only ahead of Broberg, but Samarukov has been head and shoulders above the younger guys. Well, actually, I think Niemelainen was drafted before Samarukov. But either way, this was Philip Broberg's spot to lose. This was Dmitry Samarukov's spot to win. And Marcus Niemelainen kind of just got lost in the shuffle. And he came out and said, okay, sounds good. I'll just take advantage of this. And he has. And in fact, he has won this battle to me. Out of a fantastic, fantastic two-way defenseman, guy who selected eighth overall in his draft year, he has no goals and two assists. And Dmitry Samarukov, who's also known for his offensive prowess as well, has no goals and one assist. It's Marcus Niemelainen who has the goal between the three of them. And not only the goal, he is also bringing an element that not only Dmitry Samarukov and Philip Broberg don't bring, he's bringing an aspect of the game that nobody else in the entire organization brings. And that's the physicality. Marcus Niemelainen in four games has 22 hits. In each of those games, he has more than five hits. He has at least five hits. Five hits is his baseline. Four games, 22 hits. Nobody else does that. But Marcus Niemelainen is bringing an aspect that the players that are trying to beat him out for the final spot don't bring. Plus, he skates, I'm not going to say as well as Philip Broberg, and I'm not even going to really say even as well as Samarukov. Depends. Sometimes Samarukov can be very slight of foot. Sometimes you see him go, oh, okay, he got beat. But Marcus Niemelainen, again, has that long stride, and you're not getting around him at all. At all. It is like a California redwood. Just, you can't get around it. Everybody talks about the Edmonton Oilers need a shutdown defenseman. That's what they need right now. They have him right here, and he wears number 80 for the Edmonton Oilers. Again, I've liked Dmitry Samarukov from the start. Had a decent game last night, but he hasn't even really beat Philip Broberg, if I'm going to be honest. I've seen people give him a lot of praise over the last couple of days, but the issue with Samarukov now is that if he doesn't make the team and he gets sent down, well, he's going to have to go on waivers. And does he get claimed off waivers? He's been involved in a lot of trade talks over the last couple of years. Those teams that were engaged in trade talks for him could just go, okay, finally we can have him for free. But at the same time, I personally have not been at all impressed with Dmitry Samarukov. So if the Edmonton Oilers were to lose him on waivers, would it be a massive loss? Well, after the play of guys like Phil Kempf, Michael Kesselring, Max Wanner as well, you have guys like Alex Peters, who was just on a PTO, who's down on an amateur contract. Maybe not. But we will have to see. What do you think? What do you think of this whole battle? Is Niemelainen won it? Do you think it's still Broberg's for now? Do you think Samarukov, where do you think Samarukov fits in this whole thing? Because again, he has to go through waivers if he is sent down. Do the Edmonton Oilers keep him to try and make sure they keep him off waivers? But what do you think? That's just another roster spot. I'm babbling on here. A massive win for the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, it's a 7-2 win in preseason. But the Edmonton Oilers are in Abbotsford tomorrow night, once again, against the Vancouver Canucks. Sounds like one of Leon Draisaitl or Connor McDavid will be playing in that game. The interesting thing is, it sounds like Hollywood Dylan Holloway will probably be on the wing of that centerman. So something to watch out for the Abbotsford game tomorrow night against Vancouver in British Columbia. I hope that one is in British Columbia. Yes, I know I said it was in Vancouver, the game yesterday. It was in Edmonton. But tomorrow's game is, in fact, in Abbotsford. I don't want to say I promise, but I do know that. Anyways, I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And play La Bamba, baby.